The children are going downstairs immediately, so they should be down there by now. I have a reading based on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We remember, O God, the countless saints of history who have blazed a trail of courage through time. We remember, O God, the tender touch of loved ones, the examples of heroes, the healing words of comforters, and the remarkable acts of fearless ones. We remember, O God, the gentle strength of grandmothers and grandfathers, the loyalty of friends, the kindness of strangers, the joy of children, the sacrifice of parents. We remember, O God, the supreme love of Jesus, the blessings of his Spirit, the reminder of his words, the sharing of his suffering, the glory of his resurrection shown forth in the lives of the disciples, young and old, dead and living, articulate and silent, strange and familiar, brilliant and ordinary. We remember every time and place the saints of God who have shown us the Lord. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us worship God today with joy. Please take out your blue hymnal to sing numbers 84, O God, our help in ages past. Number 84. Sorry, Brown. Okay. Welcome everybody this morning. This is Eternity Life Sunday. It's different than our other calendar. This is the Christian calendar. Next week starts First Advent, and this is sort of the last Sunday of this cycle. The choir already was practicing Christmas songs. People have trees up, but we pause. We're not quite there yet. We're pausing to look back at the people that we lost this last year. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced at this time? Oh, Linda? John Goosen's daughter, thank you very much. And Eileen? Mr. and Mrs. Peters from Ottawa. Carol? Doug Dick from Smithers, B.C. Welcome. We welcome everybody here. If you'd like to turn in your bulletins briefly, And I guess the first nice thing to see, there is nobody in the hospital at this time. Those people have been there. They're back out, which is good. We hope Betty is healing well. Please remember to think of all those that are undergoing treatments or tests as the journey continues. The youth is looking forward to sharing supper with us on Wednesday. I'm out of town. I have an excuse, but everybody else, please sign up. The calendar is here for those that need it. Choir rehearsal, there's always room for more. And, of course, there's always the work of the church that carries on. So please consider church council and its responsibilities and where you might fit into that. And Westgate is selling things by Tuesday, so you got 2 days. On the back, there are activities that are coming up, a meeting tomorrow, several Christmas programs, and last but not least, the Faith and Life Choir singing down the road, and I'd love to see you out there. Does anybody else have any announcements or sharing they'd like to do at this time? Please bow with me in prayer. Dear Lord, we gather here today to praise your holy name, to ask for your daily as well as eternal blessing. We remember what the apostles, he compared our life to a race. Each of us is at a different stage today. Some feel deeply connected as we sprint each day. Some feel your spiritual guidance frequently as we run like in a marathon. Some of us switch between jogging with you and walking backwards. And some are usually distracted by life, but occasionally feel the nudge that you have. Whatever our level of faith, Lord, we gather today. We want to hear your word. We want to meditate on your song. And we want to support each other as we think about all those that have passed before us. As we think of our global neighbors, Lord, teach us to pray and not lose heart. To pray for those who have basic needs of life missing, those who are weak and lonely, those who need your comfort and love, those who have faced the obstacles of freedom and terror. We pray for support and encouragement to all. We pray for the people in the positions of power and leadership. We pray for compassion, wisdom, guidance, mercy. We pray for community developer leaders, educators, administrators, social workers. We pray that you will have your loving hands around them. And as we're about to offer our gifts, Lord, we ask that you be with us, that we do not grow weary to doing what is right. We commit to speak up for the voiceless, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, and show your mercy, as that is what is in your heart. Lord Jesus, help us, be with us, and guide us today. Amen. After the offering, we'll be having a memorial service where we'll have some singing and remembering those that have passed before us. But first, we'll take a collection under and sing the song Under His Wings, Men and Hymnal 575, the Brown Book, 575. There's no children's story. Sorry.
Thank you. you'd like to turn in your German hymn book, Auf ewig bei dem Herrn, number 472. Verses 1 and 2.
The song we just sang talked about the blessings of living God's salvation forever in the Jerusalem in heaven. Some of our members and regulars have gone from us this year, and this is a time for us to reflect, to give people the chance to think back of these people. We have asked family members or friends to come and light a candle, and so when your name is called, when we list the name and you'd like to come and light a candle for that person, you're welcome to come up. If nobody comes, then one of the caregivers will light a candle. So we have names in our bulletin you can follow if you'd like. Let us think about these that have passed before. We start with Ella Bickert. She passed away November 17th, 2016, at the age of 89. Leonard Lage passed away January 14th at the age of 88. Louisa Lowen passed away January 16th at the age of 100. Elizabeth Clausen passed away on February 4th at the age of 93. Anna Hildebrandt passed away on February 18th at the age of 98. John Goosen passed away on March 3rd at the age of 83. Martin Bergen passed away on March 7th at the age of 89. Willie Dick passed away on April 4th at the age of 92. Susanna Harder passed away on April 10th at the age of 91. Jacob Berg passed away on August 12th at the age of 90. Wilhelm Bullinger passed away on August 20th at the age of 82. Hildegard Wiens passed away October 28th at the age of 65. At this time, we give opportunity for anybody else that is thinking of somebody that they want to light a candle for. We ask you to come up down the center aisle, please, to light the candle, and then we go back the other way just so we can keep the traffic flow smooth. anybody that has somebody in their mind they want to light a candle for, whether this last year or previous, you're welcome.
We'll conclude this time with a prayer together. Our loving and gracious God, on this occasion we have reflected on the lives of people who have been important to us, people we have loved, people who have cared for us, people we have cared for. Many people have died in this past year, and we're remembering them. They are like the great cloud of witnesses before us that the writer of Hebrews speaks of. On this day, we pray for your courage, your comfort to walk alongside of those who grieve. Care for us, we pray, and lead us on from here. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
First scripture this morning comes from Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin who has spiritually, we should spiritually restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, then he is nothing. He deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be conceited. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, for that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders off and sin that is so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you struggle against sin and have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, my son, do not make light the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone does undergo discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all human fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our Father disciplined us for a little while as he thought best, but God disciplines us for good, that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Pastor Marv, we look forward to you explaining those words.
Yes, John already wondered by email earlier in the week how this was connecting this morning. I promise you I'll make an effort. Let's just bow for some words of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now, I suspect that on this Sunday we have a number of people here who have not been with us over previous Sundays, so I should let you know that we have been doing a series of sermons about the church, just kind of a broad theme and topic for the last number of Sundays, the church. What is it? What should it be like? And in the series of sermons about what the church is and what it should be like, we have drawn inspiration from camping trips. And we kind of tied those things together with New Testament letters or instructions to Christian churches in New Testament letters. And so this morning we reflect on what it's like to give up on a camping trip. Many of us can likely think of an occasion where we have made plans for a camping trip that looked good on paper and then have set out as planned, only to have lousy weather or some other unseen circumstance, vehicle breakdown, you name it, cause us to decide to go back home where things were more secure and certain. I remember an occasion like that. My family had taken a few days off. We had borrowed our pastor's tent trailer, and anticipating a few sunny days on the beach and in the lake, we set up camp at Falcon Lake. On the second day we were there, I took my two oldest children, aged 6 and 4 at the time, for a round of miniature golf. As we were playing through our miniature round of golf, to the west, dark clouds were building. And a sensible person would probably have said, it's time to pack this in and head back to where we're safe. But When I've spent money to play something, do something, that sensibility kind of gets tossed out the window. We finished the round. But before we got back to the trailer, the heavens opened up. Rain and light hail pounded down while we managed to get under a shelter some distance away from the trailer and waited until things slowed down. When we did finally get back to the trailer, everything there was sopping wet. I mean, this had been a pretty substantial bit of rainfall. And looking at this all, we as a family just wondered. We couldn't imagine that anything good and enjoyable would come out of this after the event. And so the decision was quickly made. We would return home. While the family waited in the car, I packed everything up in the diminishing rain, and then we returned home. In any story like that, we admit that we simply got tired of the wearying factors in our vacation. We didn't want to endure it any longer. And if your story ended like mine, your weariness got the better of you, and you ended that particular experience. You might have said to yourself, "These boots were made for walking, but not this much." Sometimes life is like that. Sometimes life in the Christian church is like that. When we feel so weary that we don't want to continue in the church, how should we think? Where do we draw inspiration to go on? Now, it doesn't feel very good to talk about the Christian church or to think about our church here in North Kildonan as a place where people can get weary of participating. But let's talk about reasons for why Christians in the church get weary of the church. I've drawn inspiration for this segment, Reasons for Why, from an article by Tim Stafford entitled "The Church's Walking Wounded," in which Stafford, after consulting pastors and therapists, identifies five kinds of wounds or factors for Christians deciding that they are too weary to continue in the church. From your experience, the people you know, you may be able to add some other factors, some other reasons, some other wounds. But these are the five that Stafford identified after his period of research. One wound is abuse. Church leaders have abused the trust of their churches through improper sexual behavior, through misuse of church funds, or by authoritative demands to conformity to their ideals. And when those things happen, some people in the church can't deal with it. Some people shrug it off and they say, well, that's one person who did something bad and we as the church continue on. But some people feel like they can't deal with that and they drop out of life in the church. Another wound is neglect. Some Christians weary of the church because they are neglected people. They don't feel like their needs and their lives are taken seriously when they come to church. So when the church fails to address the needs of the people who come in meaningful ways, people may feel neglected and become weary. And then a third wound is loneliness. Some Christians are weary because they are lonely in the church. The church promises to be a place where love can be found, where people will care for each other, and where pastoral staff will tend to needs. We're gathered here. We're sitting amongst people we expect to feel cared for and loved. And inevitably, some people who come to church remain disconnected from others and end up feeling lonely, even though they participate in a community with many other Christians. They may develop feelings of weariness with the church as a result. On this Sunday, it strikes me that we could be thinking about people who are lonely. These candles represent people who have died. Folks among us have lost people who were close to them, who helped to ease feelings of loneliness. And so, if that goes uncared for, people may grow weary in their loneliness. Stafford also identifies guilt as a wound. In some cases, the Christian church plays a part in placing, let's say, undue guilt on people. You know, as a church, we believe it's important to take seriously the demands of following Jesus Christ. This is what we're about. When we proclaim that call, sometimes People hear those demands but fail to live up to them, and they experience guilt. Sometimes we as the church unduly put that guilt onto people. And some people simply get tired of feeling driven to feel guilty when they come to church, and they weary of it. And the last wound Stafford identifies is the wound of over-involvement. The church asks for people to serve in its programs, and that's a good thing. If you read through the bulletin, I wouldn't encourage you to grab it now and read it, but there is a note there about inviting people to serve on church council. You know that there were a number of spots that were vacant. It's good to invite you to serve in the church. Choosing to serve in the church is an appropriate response to God's love for us. But there are times when people take on too many tasks. They take more than they can deal with, and they struggle with burnout. And so sometimes they tire of life in the church and they move out. You may think of people who have left for wounds other than these. This is just simply the list that Stafford compiled after he talked to pastors and therapists. Now, how do we respond to the sense that people feel such tremendous weariness in the church? We certainly recognize that it's not good to feel those things that we've spoken of. And I think the scriptures we read today suggest at least four appropriate responses. One is that when we feel we just don't want to go on, the Bible calls us to endure. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 1, that we should throw off the things that hinder us and run the race marked out for us in perseverance. And at the end of the passage we read, he writes, "Therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees." Given the call to endurance in the first verse, and this exhortation may also be a call to become stronger and keep on going. And then Paul, in the Galatians passage we read, wrote, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So those encouragements would have us telling ourselves to get over our weariness and keep on going with the help of God. We could compare that idea to a camping trip as well. Sometimes we don't really have the option of packing up and going home. If we're far enough away from home, if we've got something we have to get to, sometimes we don't have that option of giving up. And sometimes we're still anticipating a destination that we don't want to miss when the camping trip becomes difficult. And often in those situations, something very enjoyable still occurs on the camping trip. And perhaps such a reminder helps us think of the goodness of dealing with feelings of weariness and carrying on with life in the church. Some will find such a response encouraging, perhaps. Others will hear it and despair. They don't see how they can keep going when the abuse, the neglect, the loneliness, the guilt, or the burned out feelings continue. They may need a different sort of encouragement. The writer of Hebrews puts life's hard times in a light that may be helpful. He says we should endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, he writes. Now, it may be that we have understood this passage to mean that God punishes us for our wrongdoing, like a parent might punish a misbehaving child. So we should endure that. In that concept, then, the hardships that he's writing about are things that God sends to us because we have done wrong. I suspect that's not the right way to think of that passage. I think the hardships spoken of are likely not punishment for wrongdoing. They are the kinds of hardships that come to all people. They are what these candles represent today. We've lost people we've loved. We've gone through hard times. And what it means that God disciplines us is that God uses these opportunities to teach us, to train us. Discipline is more like education than punishment. God loves us and uses the things that happens in our lives to teach us, to help us to grow as his people. And we need to learn to see how God might be teaching us when we feel weariness in the church. So those two responses, Well, let's add one more. The response that comes out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That follows an entire chapter in Hebrews where the writer remembers all kinds of heroes of the Old Testament. People who were exemplified or who exemplified sticking to it, following God, obeying God, and doing great things. And he says, because of the people who have gone before us, we carry on with what is ahead. These candles remind us of people who have gone on before. People who have lived, people who have been faithful to the call of God in their lives. And I think that's another response to this feeling of weariness. Remembering those who have gone before. The people we think of today, all kinds of people from the past, remembering that and carry on because. Now those responses are all directed at the people who are feeling weariness. But that's not the only response we heard from our passages today. The fourth response drawn from our scriptures this morning may be more significant for us when we think of life in the church. And that response directs us as a church to take seriously the idea that people in our church are weary for the reasons we have suggested. All of those weary people need the care of the church. Paul writes in Galatians that we should carry each other's burdens. The Galatians passage in particular, we're just drawing a couple of ideas from. We're not trying to lay it all out this morning. But Paul says that we should carry each other's burdens. It seems there to be related to restoring people who have fallen into sin, but it still reminds us of the idea that we in the church are responsible for each other. We want to care for each other. In chapter 6, verse 10 there, Paul writes, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The church is a place where the weary find comfort and rest, where they find people caring, doing good for them by caring for them. And it seems to me that the writer of Hebrews means something similar when he says in chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And this seems to be an instruction to the church to work to restore the feeble and weak people in the church, so that they find healing. It doesn't feel very good to label people as feeble and weak. And I don't think we mean that in a condescending or difficult way. We simply go through weariness sometimes, and we need restoration and care. So it's important that all of us in the church see it as our role to take each other's pain and weariness seriously and to care for each other. You know, we've hired a pastor, right? And we have appointed caregivers within our church to look after the needs of people. But we recognize that those people can't respond to all the needs for care. The congregation needs to be a caring body. That's not intended to be a critique of our congregation. From what I know, the things that I hear, there's lots of care going on, and we're grateful for it. But it is a reminder that that is our call as a congregation, to be caring. We've considered a story of people aborting a camping trip because they got tired of dealing with bad weather. We've compared that to experiences of people who get weary with the church. And this is not what God intends. Although it may be challenging to follow Jesus and to live in the church at times, God wants us to experience goodness and joy as we do so. And then we recognize the responses that the biblical texts we chose for this topic encourage. These responses are designed to help us in the church deal with the fact that people are weary and in pain. They encourage those of us who are struggling with weariness to endure it and go on. They inspire us to see weariness in such a way that we understand its benefits for our growth. They encourage us to remember those who have gone on before. And they tell us we need to take each other's weariness seriously and respond to it in such a way as to bring healing. Hopefully, as a result of one or all of those responses, the people who say these boots were made for walking but not this much, we'll be able to find the strength to lace up the boots again and keep on walking. Let's pray together. Our loving God, you know our hearts. Some of us are sitting in these pews this morning and we are feeling downright weary. Others of us have gone through times when we have felt weary, and we know people around us who do. We pray for your Spirit to encourage us. We know that you wish for joy for us, for excitement, for enthusiasm to follow you. May we care for each other, and may we feel your caring near to us, so that we'll be able to continue walking when it feels like it's too much. In Jesus' name, amen.
In response, let us turn in our small black German book, number 354, Ich will streben nach dem Leben, longing for eternal blessings. Someone that. 354 in the black book, first three verses. As we draw to a close, thank you, Pastor Marv, for teaching us. Thank you, Peter, for accompanying us and the choir. And thank you for participating in word and deed. Please rise for the benediction. Friends, as we go from here, let us rid ourselves of every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily impedes our progress. Let us run the race that God has set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, to whom our faith depends from start to finish. And as we run, know that the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is always with you. Amen. In closing, please take out your red hymnal. Number 534, we will sing the first verse. Great is thy faithfulness.